But I don't want to be an emperor. That's not my business. In this world there's room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful. But we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate. We think too much and feel too little. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness. Without these qualities, life will be violent. All will be lost. Do not despair. The hate of men will pass, and dictators die. And the power they took from the people will return to the people. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world to do away with greed. Now let us fight to free the world, to fulfill the promise. Let us all unite. I'm sorry, but I don't want to be an emperor. That's not my business. In this world, there's room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful, but we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate. We think too much and feel too little. We need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness. Without these qualities, life will be violent. All will be lost. Do not despair. The hate of men will pass, and dictators die. And the power they took from the people will return to the people. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world to do away with greed. Now let us fight to free the world, to fulfill the promise. Let us all unite.
Welcome, folks. You're in the Corporation Nation. It is the 11th of February, 2015. My guest, as always on Wednesdays, is Daniel. Daniel, up from Canada, joining us. His website is, it's not only Freeman. It's Christian Remedy in Law. That's on YouTube. YouTube channel Christian Remedy in Law. I wanted to open the show today by, and I've been thinking a lot about this, writing a lot about it, and it's this concept of anthropomorphization of things, which has a really rich history, actually. Earliest known commenter on anthropomorphism was a Greek poet and religious thinker, Xenophanes, B.C. In the 500s there, 400s, criticized the tendency to conceive of gods in human terms, and later theologians have sought to reduce anthropomorphism in the religion, and of course it's considered heresy, Christian heresy, to anthropomorphize just about everything, put things into human terms. But I've started to really, really comprehend where the source of power comes from, and it really does come from anthropomorphization. It comes from making things that are not human, human. It comes from telling stories about things, animals, concepts, narcissists, that sort of thing, anger. Any emotion, any possible concept can be humanized, put into the form of human, but that doesn't mean that there's any substance there. And what I see in the churches nowadays, keep in mind that anthropomorphism is just another word, folks, for personification. Personification, the creation of persons, which the Bible is completely, completely against in any way, shape, or form. Personification and anthropomorphization, turning something, giving something human form when it has no substance, ignoring the substance and concentrating on the form, and that is what the churches have done. And I'd like to say that know, if I were to really put my finger on why the church, why the industry, the corporation of religion, and how that transfers to government in the same way, acting as God, is all based on anthropomorphization. You have to present God to people through the biblical story, through the Greek gods, through the Roman, whatever it is. You have to present the gods in a humanistic fashion, in an anthropomorphized fashion, in a personification of man, in order to convince people that you are the personification of God. How can you be personification of God as king or pope or president or magistrate, judge, governor, anything? How can you be the personification of God if God is not a person? God is not a man. You see, that's the thing. God is not a name. God is not a description. God is not, it's a word to describe something that is indescribable. It is a word to describe the very substance of things that man cannot possibly comprehend. It is a word that is just used. But what happens in the church is that it's personified. And without that personification, without that anthropomorphization, then man could not act in the stead or anti-Christ, anti-God. They could not act in the place of God. Now, this doesn't matter. Doesn't matter to me whether the story is real, whether it is fiction. Doesn't matter. The point is that man uses that notion and has since 500 BC, 560 BC, in this form of claiming power through the personification of whatever the current god figure is, and that's been going on since since Hammurabi created his code and said that the gods, which were the Anunnaki, gave him his authority to rule through their stead. So it's all about this concept, and again, your belief, your personal belief in that, has no bearing on what I'm talking about, which is the concept of governing through that notion of anthropomorphization, because they couldn't do it unless they anthropomorphize the characters in the Bible and everything in history, and they make statues, and they make images, and they make idols, and everything, because that's the only way they have to get you convinced in the human form of God so that they can rule in that same form. And yet the substance of what God is, the substance, the very substance of everything in nature, is completely taken out of the equation. We have a belief in God, in the form of God, but we do not qualify or do anything about the substance of the law, the statutes, if you will, of God. It's all gone. It's all gone, and that's our problem. Is our religion has turned into government without religious notions. Churches teach that they are the personification of God. All sin is forgiven through the church. You don't have to follow any of God's laws or Jesus' teachings. You only have to do what the church tells you, and the church tells you government is God. Law of the land, follow it. Follow what man says. On that note, I want to talk with Daniel today about this notion of mammon. I find it very fascinating when I look up what mammon means in the Greek lexicon, Strong's G3126, mammonas, meaning mammon, treasure or riches. Now, when I go to look up riches, I see that it means in Webster's 1828, of course, riches is a single, it's a singular thing, not a plural. It's wealth, opulence, affluence, possessions of land, good, or money in abundance. All right, so that's the key, in abundance. Okay, it says riches do not consist in having more gold and silver, but in having more in proportion than our neighbors. See, and that's the difference. When we're talking about mammon, we're talking about the accumulation of abundance despite the needs of everyone else. And when we're talking about mammon, what does it say? It says where wealth or riches is personified or anthropomorphized, where it is personified and opposed to God. So, in other words, if we think about this for a moment, we got to remember that anything can be money. Anything can be used as money. How we value that thing, whether we value it as a secular thing or we value it according to its position in and under God, is the difference. Because if we did that, then nothing would have value in the secular world. There would be no need for money. There would be no need for the concept of money, because we would all be living in love, unconditional love. We would never want more than our neighbor. We would never want to see our neighbor suffer because we have more. And that is what the society seems to be all about today. Anyway, welcome to the show, Daniel.
It's actually great, you know, kind of listening to you be able to explain things like that, because when you're able to kind of articulate it out there, you've done some really, really good research, and we hope we can really motivate the people listening in. Do as much research as you can independently after you listen to the shows, because it helps you to probably to establish at times the amount of time and energies that are going into these shows. To help, because we know we're not generating any mammon on this. It's like if we were after that, we certainly would be better off putting our time down some other direction, because it appears when you start going down the spiritual, the mammon stuff really starts to decrease in its focus, and you're generally living on more of a solid goodwill spiritual faith that's kind of removing you, you know, from the pain of that society that everybody's chasing that that forbidden carrot that they never seem to get enough of. So it's great listening to you go on the dialogue like that, because it's solid for people to know you've actually done your due diligence.
Well, you know what, Danny, you've mentioned the word confidence before.
Yep.
And I read the definition of confidence not too long ago. It's pretty incredible. What's another word for the Aramaic origin of mammonas? Well, it just happens to be confidence. Wealth personified. Confidence. That's amazing to me. It's a confidence.
And it's amazing, the money and the wealth and what we do secularly in society is really based on the confidence and belief or conviction of the people into what it is. Because it wouldn't work otherwise.
Right. What do we say about the dollar? It has its value based on the confidence of the people that it has value. Nothing else.
Exactly. It was interesting you brought up the term money, and I was on that about 2 days ago, just doing some. Money seemed to be the, you know, not that I was trying to think about it in the sense of trying to gain the money. It was just that it was such a big focus that's in society. So I said, I just want to see if I'm clear in thought on where it comes from, the definition. So I went down it just in some, you know, fairly decent dictionaries. I did use a Webster's New World Dictionary, compare the old ones, go into the Oxford, but I went down money, and this is what I found in one of the dictionaries. It said Latin moneta, and then for the purpose of commerce, money, coined, all these words were attached. Then I went into Samuel Johnson, 1755, that said money differs from uncoined silver in that the quantity of silver in each piece of money is ascertained by the stamp it bears, which is a public voucher. So the money has to do with the public, at least in an understanding there, which is where the tax comes in and why we have tax tag names to deal with what we're using in the public. Then it said see mint. So I went to mint, and it said coin. It said a place for coining money. Latin moneta, epithet of Juno, in whose temple at Rome money was coined. Now, uniquely here in Canada, we have the Juno Awards, which are the music awards for awarding how much money the music talent in Canada has generated. But they call it the Juno Awards. So you know that there's a Roman feel in all this, in history. Then it says to invent, create, fabricate. A source of manufacture invention. But when you go to the word invent, invent is to feign, to frame by imagination, as to invent the machinery of a poem. Devising, contriving, these are all not such great words in what they really are, but we got so used to using them, so we always think about inventions, but we're really causing something to be that's make-believe. And so we're not, we're kind of like creating an artificial world by the usage of that term. And we say that if something's in an invention, well, it's also part of someone's inventory. So we're kind of, if we're in something that's not real or artificial, then we're in someone's invention. Inventory, part of that, in someone else's premise of thought.
Well, see, that's the trick of it, and that's why I think this word is so much deeper than just the surface when we say, you know, wealth. It really is, as it says, confidence in the fact that something has a value other than it has for its actual practical purpose in nature, what it was created, quote-unquote, created by the creator. When man becomes the creator of something, and he does create an inventory or an abundance of something. Now, I mean, take food as an example. We have an abundance of food, and yet we have billions of people that are either starving or so destitute that they can only afford to buy food and nothing else. That is mammon. That is abundance without consideration of need. That is this sort of, well, we have stockpiles of things, we have inventory, we have this mass of wealth, and yet what is the purpose of having it if it is not to support the needs of your fellow man of nature? What is the point of having this wealth, this mammon, if it is causing, literally the reason for causing such pain and suffering across every spectrum of the life, of this earth? You start looking at it for what it really means. What is it again? Where something is personified and opposed to God. Well, folks, I mean, do you think that it's, say, a tribute to God to look at gold as something that's worth $1,500 an ounce or whatever it is today? Or is it a tribute it doesn't make sense when you think of it that way. It doesn't make sense to be so caught up in these things that we're hoarding this stuff, this brilliant metal that has so many good qualities, so many incredible aspects to it, not the least of which is its health aspects. It cures insomnia, does all kinds of wonderful things to the body. But its use in machinery, its use as a commodity, its use in jewelry and beauty. It's just this gorgeous, wonderful, natural creation, even though it's technically the something that's created by the poop of bugs. it is this wonderful, wonderful thing that should be cherished. In fact, some cultures, the way that they store their gold, what do? We give it to our military. But some cultures, they put it in all of their religious artifacts. They built, statues of Buddha, for instance, in pure gold. The priests actually guard the gold. It's not, there's no military guarding it. It's the priest. It is a respected thing in that way. It is cherished as a religion. No one would steal the Buddha. No one is going to go steal that Buddha. It's cherished for what it actually is, as opposed to just a commodity that can be used in mammon. And when I say that, I mean a paper can be written that assigns the value to it, and then the paper itself becomes personified as the gold, becomes the piece of mammon. It is then traded. It is then put into circulation as an actual piece of mammon, a piece of money. So, see, mammon is, it doesn't have to do with money. It has to do with the turning of everything in nature into money. I'm trading my cattle. Well, that's creating money out of cattle. It's not respecting the cattle for what it is, for the thing that sustains you. It's, I mean, this is why we're out of control right now, because we're not looking at things as they are under God, as they were created. We're changing them. We're genetically altering things so that they're more easy to trade, so that we, I mean, to distribute, to produce, to make inventory of, and we're dying in the process because we're messing with, we're completely out of respect for their natural creation, if you will. What it was that its purpose was to feed people, not to be traded on the stock market as a commodity, not to be turned into corn syrup, not to see, we're screwing everything up because we're not respecting things in their proper proportion as they were created. And that's what it boils down to. Everything else, every other consideration is mammon. So it's not just money, it's literally the turning of everything into money. Daniel, you there?
Yeah, I'm still there. Yep, I was listening and writing at the same time, so I'm taking notes just to let people realize that when Clint and I are talking, I know Clint and I have had numerous shows together, but you're always going to learn, and something, a light bulb will go off in your mind, because someone will always trip you into having a better clarification on something by literally keeping your ears open. And really trying to, digest so that you can also, again, you know, do your research, later. But, this has a lot to do with, belief. Belief's a really big thing. We talked about it earlier, that it's really the confidence, you know, of the people in the money system is the only thing that's keeping it working. I whole thing that people have to understand that, when people stop believing something, it'll just fail. And I think we're in for a huge failure any time now, because I think worldwide there's a lack of belief in how the ones in charge of things are operating things. And I think people are about to possibly react. Now, I'm concerned for the people that are using someone else's property while they dissent from belief, and they get mixed up in the journey of this. They got to really know where they are, and I just hope that people can do enough due diligence to get their belief system into harmony with what is natural and real, because that's the key thing about spirituality. It really means artless, not being caught up in imagination or the mechanisms of somebody's, feigned system. And yes, I think the very large portion of the public or people do not realize that they're attached to a feigned, doomed, invention, that's not working anymore. It's not happening, and it's falling apart because of the greed and the wealth, that runs that system.
Well, we could say that about the church. It's yep. falling apart because it's abusing its power. It's people are starting to see through it as, again, a confidence game. You have to believe in its tenets, in its doctrines, against what the Bible says. And the more you read the Bible, the more you understand how absolutely incorrect that is. And so what you're saying, if I'm not mistaken, is that people across the world are losing confidence in the game that they are participating in. They don't want to be little monopoly cars and shoes on the board anymore. They're saying this is wrong what we've been doing. But unfortunately, we're all trapped up in it. We're all tricked into participating in it. And the thought of non-participation, I mean, it's almost unimaginable. People, you know, like I said yesterday, we were talking about, you know, how am I going to work if I don't? That's the funny question when you think about it. How am I going to work if I'm not a citizen anymore? If I end my United States citizen, how am I going to work? What are you really asking? You're asking, how am I going to work if I don't have the mark? Well, that's exactly what it tells you in the damn Bible. It says you're going to need the mark to work and be a part of Mammon. Think about that, folks. I mean, literally, when we ask these questions, do we actually consider that we are literally in this revelatory position where we're figuring it out as we go? We're saying, how am I going to work without the mark? I mean, that's incredible when you think about it. We don't think of it that way. We're only concerned with these secular things. We're not thinking in that spiritual manner. It's scary.
It is. Because the legal side operates the money, they had to logistically create something that controlled that. And if you don't have that, it appears it almost be impossible to exist or to function. So the big concern is, can I not be legal? And people don't realize that natural is defined as illegitimate, something that's natural in the sense of not. I know we can kind of take down that word in another sense. It's been used wrongly at times, and so there's. But in its pure sense, something that's, you know, from nature, that's real. Is illegitimate in the world of how we run the legal system. So fiction is kind of like the reality of that world. It tries to make you think that it's a fact, but it's a factitious thing. So we're not, to do the real thing, to act in a real sense and not see the debt and going out there just looking at all the gifts that were placed on this planet for us to have, we've turned them into a corruption of greed and evil and wealth and money and all these things, which was not natural. It's not a natural concept, the idea of money. It just isn't. But we make believe and we pretend and then we become so attached to it, now we've been caught up by this artifice. And so being spiritual is not to be part of anything of an artifice. Even the term native, you can look that up in that Noah's 1828, it'll say, I believe, without artificial. No artificial is in native. So, we're kind of been tagged in this, and I think it's time to, you know, exit that, but how are you gonna do that? And this is where I think everybody's journey in research has been leading to this, and we've been on this really solid, at least at the end here in Canada, the people that I've been, charitably, and I'm saying completely with no gain, no profit idea, going out there, putting our time and efforts into it, and we're at the point now where the actual making our position known in a peaceful way is about to happen. And that's why we've been very quiet. There's been no videos. There's been nothing. Though we did kind of have a little bit of dissension at one point among some of the people I was, you know, hanging with. We kind of had a little bit of a falling out for a while because of directions of saying, you better give me the remedy. And I want it on the platter because you failed me. And I'm going, wow, where did this individual journey between themselves and their maker go?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's amazing. You see people's true colors that way. We'll be back, man. Stay tuned.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
HempUSA.org introduces three brand new detox formulations of micro plant powder. Brain Fuel for depression, bipolar disorders, and stress. Total Care, anti-cancer agent that cleans the liver and organs and increases memory. Rejuvenate, invigorates and heals the body, mind, and spirit. These products are your alternative to pharmaceuticals. Call 888-910-4367 and like us on Facebook. We ship worldwide only at HempUSA.org.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureEffect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureEffect Ultra today by visiting PureEffectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
And the men who hold high places must be the ones who start to mold a new reality closer to the heart, closer to the heart. Blacksmith and the artist in their
own. All right, folks, we are back. So I want to make this very clear. Again, reading from Thayer's Greek lexicon here, this is, you know, if you guys want to actually do some research into the words of the Bible, which I really recommend, because what you find is they have such a vastly different meaning than what we are taught. And, you know, my opinion is that we were taught the vulgar, as they call it, language, the common language for the mass of illiterates. You know, we were taught this language so that we could not figure out the true meanings of Latin and Greek words. We cannot understand the Bible because we don't understand the true meaning of the words. Now, mammon is... See if I can explain this here, because it's fascinating when you actually see it for yourself. It means to be derived. Mammon means to be derived, apparently... from mammon. So you're derived from some sort of riches, treasure, wealth, okay? Hence, it says, what is trusted in? What does our dollar say? In God we trust, right? We trust that government is our God. It says here, Jesenius Thesaur I-552. I'm not sure what that refers to, but it means treasure. That's what thesaur means, or thesaurus. So when we go to Black's Law 4th edition, and we look up, thesaur is the treasurer. Thesaurus? Well, wait a minute. What is a thesaurus? The treasury. Thesaurium is a treasure. You see, so to be derived from mammon, or treasure, what is that? How does that affect us? Well, you see, we are the treasure. As we've been talking about the last week and a half here, the birth certificate is a treasure that is found. We are foundlings. Remember, we are abandoned by our parents. Literally, the definition of a foundling is one who's been forsaken by their parents. We are thus collected as treasure found. All right? Thesaurus absconditus is treasure hidden or buried. The maxim of law says that treasure does not belong to the king unless no one knows who hid it. Well, we have no idea that we're assigning our children over to the state because we're not submitting an affidavit or a proof that we are the paternal parents. We are simply signing that thing over, signing our child over as an infant of unknown parentage. And therefore, it's a treasure found, a foundling. The king's treasure, treasure trove is an ancient hiding of money. Well, what is money, folks? Remember, it's mammon. It's things that are derived from wealth, from treasure, from riches. Well, treasure, again, where does the birth certificate go? It goes into the commercial world, the treasury, the thesaurus. You see, all of this starts making so much sense if you figure out what these words actually mean. So we're being personified as money ourselves. Our birth certificate is the personification of life itself into a tradable commodity that we are unknowingly acting as an agent for government for. We are the treasure found. That's the point. We are acting as mammon. We are the personification of a treasure found. This is so important to understand, that we are being treated, I mean, can I even say that we're even being treated like cattle? Because cattle are treated much better than us, because the cattle don't have the capacity for reason. And the whole thing is based, imbeciles cannot stand trial. Someone who's mentally ill to the point where they cannot have understanding or standing in court, they are not treated like they don't have the rights that we have. They are actually wards of the state. They must be protected because they do not have the capacity for reason to understand this, or more importantly, to not comprehend this and to act in it anyway, to put our trust in it. We are putting our trust in the fact that we are the representation, the personification of wealth. We are the wealth. We are the treasure found. That, my friends, is should be driving people crazy. It should be pitchforks. Lawyers and attorneys should be hanging from the nearest tree. But it's not happening, because I don't think people really grasp the notion that we are literally persons, personified treasure. We are walking mammons, literally. And that's it's just, you know, it's all there. It's all right there in front of you. And this sounds nuts. Probably sounds nuts to the average person, but it's absolutely 100% what the hell the Bible's talking about.
It's the whole journey on it. The Bible was giving us the evidence of how to walk spiritually, which spiritual is opposite to money or secular. And what we're doing is we're the energy or the spirit in the secular side when we're in there, but based on our consent. And that side would not work without that. So we're kind of voluntarily energizing something because we've never known anything different, because of the imprinting that generally you do to domesticate something. When you domesticate or imprint something, it has now been changed into something it wasn't before, and now it's going to be that. So that's what imprint is. Imprint, think about it, I'm print. That's what it really means, I'm print. So most people say they feel naked without their printed documents, their wallet with all the ID in it. I'm wondering whether or not ID really means idiot, you know.
I'm right there, man. I hate going out without cash. I don't like credit. I like cash. Well, it doesn't make me any better. It just means maybe I'm a little smarter because the power could go down. I'd rather have cash. But it doesn't make me any better in the notion that I'm still participating in this thing. And it sucks. It seems like a necessity, of course, because I don't have a group of people that I'm supporting and they're supporting me. And that's all it boils down to.
Yeah, when you even look down, because I've asked from a Christian viewpoint many times, or people that at least were following what Jesus was saying, he told his apostles to go out there as messengers of this talking about this coming kingdom that he was a king of, and telling them that they were to go out there with no money, no script in their satchels or in their travel, and that they would, you know, that they would be looked after, you know, based on this, because he had that authority to send them out with that spirit of the Creator to protect them. And I think we've kind of lost that, maybe possibly where that was going, but I'm really feeling that what's going to happen here when we finally get through this journey on the solution to the problem, we're separating ourselves from that mammon thought or that mammon attachment, and again the mammon's debt, because money is debt. So no wonder they tag it all through the surname, which means debtor, and that's the legal part, because they call it a legal surname. That's legal, and given name is not legal. You won't find legal beside a given name. Even on the birth documents that are filled out at the hospitals, they're very clear on that. It's legal surname. It's not legal given name, which would imply the fact that given name is illegal. Illegitimate, natural, back to the reality side, the spiritual side that we once were.
I was reading the codes, actually, on birth certificates. You know, every state has basically the same code. I think I was in Washington's codes, and it says essentially that the parent, the legal term that is parent, the one that has the usufruct in the child, that the state can take back any time. But it says basically that the parent can make a request to have the birth certificate name changed, but only, not ironically, the given name. You can't change the surname. You can only change the first name, the given name. They don't call it the Christian name. They call it the given name. So, I mean, right there, that tells you you don't own the surname or the combination, the incorporation of the two names. You only have the power to change the given name, and it doesn't really alter the person itself. It just alters the name of the person.
Yeah, and we happened to be down in downtown Toronto doing some research. We're just in a very large library, and we were researching what is called the Vital Statistics Act, at least here. I'm sure it's very similar down in the States, but yep. That's the act, they call it. And under that, we saw one going back around 1927, and they identified that when you placed in the given name, it just said name, and then it said surname, but it qualified that your name was your given name. It was not the combination of the two. Name only referred to given name. Then we got this idea now of legal surname. Strangely, how this kind of gets slipped in over a period of time, and then we start to get confused, because name in at least on that document for that registration only meant your given name. So that's really your name. But if you state just the given name when you walk into the court or anywhere else with an officer or anybody that's enforcement, he wants the two names. He doesn't want the name. He wants the name attached to the surname, and then we call that name now. But that's not really a name. That's a merger of something that's two things that really didn't belong together. So there is a Latin maxim on this, and it says a name may be true or false or may change, but the thing itself maintains its identity.
Mm-hmm.
The thing. Well, maybe they're talking about their thing, because Galatians 6 stated, if a man thinks he is something when he is no thing, he deceiveth his mind.
Well, let's go to things. Things are the objects of dominion or property as distinguished from persons. The object of a right, whatever is treated by the law as an object over which one person exercises a right, and with reference to which another person lies under a duty. So, I mean, a thing is not it's not a person, but we can contract, we can incorporate into a thing, and therefore become a thing. The state becomes a thing. Our rights become a thing that can be thus in dominion of the owner of that thing. And that's where the difference between being a quote-unquote U.S. citizen or a citizen of Canada and being a private person or a private citizen, if you will. That's the big difference, is because a U.S. citizen or a national, a citizen of the national thing is just a thing of that, it's a thing of that corporation, whereas, you know, what we're trying to say is that the Constitution only protects non-U.S. citizens because it only has restrictions. The restrictions, the amendments, and the articles of the Constitution only restrict that government, that central government, that foreign government. It only restricts it in its actions against people who are living in the state, who have domicile in the state. If everybody has domicile in the national corporation, then nobody is protected by any of those restrictions, any of the constitutional notions that we all cling to like goobers. We talk about them, but they don't apply to us because we're not acting in the correct capacity. We are acting in the capacity of mammon instead of being private. We're public. We are of the national government, and so we're property. We're things. We're not persons.
And there's also another Latin maxim. I'm just going to go to, you know, the English version of it without getting
ready
to enunciate Latin. But a name is not sufficient if there be not a thing or subject for it de jure or de facto. Now, it's interesting, the statement of birth record even uses that language when the division registrar signs usually next to the parents after they've filled out, and then a day later the division registrar is reviewing the paper, and he says, I am satisfied to the sufficiency and correctness, and then register the birth this day. Well, he's registering the birth or their side of the name, the secular side, but a name... Remember I said given name was really your name, then it said and surname. So they're saying your given name's not sufficient without the thing. Their secular thing. Because it's not sufficient to run debt or run commerce or run value. Run a make-believe system. And it's just it's your parents' belief, because it says the parents fill in to the best of my belief and knowledge. What they're putting down on the paper is true. Doesn't mean it is true. It's just their belief, their conviction. Maybe they have the wrong conviction because they're going to be a convict then in someone else's compound name. They'll be in someone's compound.
Well, we think about that word satisfaction. You know, when you say I am satisfied that all of this is correct, and you're pointing to something that is basically it's a contractual thing, a deed. Well, that if you're satisfied, if you have satisfaction, it comes from the Latin satis dare, which is to guarantee the obligation of a principal. So you're saying, okay, I'm going to be an agent to the principal. I'm satisfied with how the contract is created. I'm therefore now in satisfaction, the state of being satisfied, the discharge of an obligation by paying a party what is due to him. the execution or carrying into effect of an accord. You're literally saying, by saying that I'm satisfied, most people think, oh yeah, that's like after I have a big meal and my stomach and my tummy's all full and I'm all satisfied. No, folks, that's not what it means. That's why you have to learn this language, because everything that they put in front of you is a trick. It is a legal trick. It is the opposite of what you think it is. In this case, if you're satisfied, it means you're accepting, you're consenting, you are agreeing to becoming a ward of the state, basically a contractual obligation. You're saying, yep, I'm satisfied with the details here. I'm satisfied that I'm being certified. I mean, I'm certifying my child to be a ward of the state. I have no parentage over him. I have no paternity rights whatsoever. It's yours. You can take him anytime you want. That's what you're saying. You're satisfied with that. It's pathetic. We'll be back, folks. Stay tuned.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureEffect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureEffect Ultra today by visiting PureEffectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Order today at 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org.
Whew, nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
You are on the road, must have a code that you can live by. Teach your children well. Their father's hell did slowly go by.
All right, folks, welcome back. We're on a new sort of schedule, so this break is only going to be, or this segment's only going to be about 3 or 4 minutes, just to shoot the breeze, I guess. Satisfy is to answer or discharge as a claim, debt, legal demand, or the like. to comply actually and fully with a demand to extinguish by payment or performance. So, you know, literally, folks, if we're saying we're satisfied again, we're saying, yes, I agree to the contract, I agree to the debt, I answer to it, I comply and fully to the demand that you're taking my child in this case. Now, another word that I really kind of like is save. We always hear the Christian notion of being saved, but really, if you actually consider what saving actually means, in Black's Fourth, it says preservation from danger or loss. So think about the statute of limitations. Think about rights, saving or preserving rights from danger or loss. And that includes, of course, your God-given, quote-unquote, God-given rights. Preservation from danger or loss, economy in outlay, prevention of waste. To save is to accept, reserve, or exempt, as where a statute saves vested rights. To toll or suspend the running or operation of, as to save the statute of limitation. Well, there you go. You gotta think about that for a minute. What does it mean, in your opinion, Daniel, to be saved? I mean, if in legal terms, it literally means to, well, a saver default is to excuse a default. Well, what is your default? What is the default state that you are? You're a creation of God. Well, so how do you save yourself in that capacity? Well, right? You have to kind of give up the person. You have to establish, at least correct the record, at least establish, you know, I don't know. It's just fascinating that all these words that are in the Bible are also cross-referenced in these legal dictionaries, and they mean basically the same thing, but in a legal version.
Well, the state is going to try to save their version of the name.
Mm-hmm.
That's their imagination or feigned counterfeit version of the real name. So the security of their person, people have to realize that, has nothing to do with the security of your spiritual person or your spiritual who you are. You're not going to have the same. It's a different situation. One is untouchable. It's like your spirit, and that's why spiritual people would say they could take my body, but they can't take my spirit, because they just can't get at that. That's something that's untouchable. But people get a little bit too much in fear, and they start to walk in the fear of their physical body, and therefore they start worrying about the what we call the physical attachment to things that literally are in front of us, but we tend to put value on them, and then we worry and say, well, I'm not going to have my next meal if I don't touch this imaginative name that they've given me, because I'm not going to get that handout from the state anymore.
Yeah.
Or I'm not going to get those subsidies, or I'm not going to get that pension, or I'm not going to get that,
nope,
that health care.
Which all of it is just a big lie, a big scheme anyway. It's so funny. But hey, folks, we'll be back. Stay tuned.
With financial uncertainty.